Welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 250. That's right, we have done 250 shows. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a bit before we get into the few things that happened this week or a few things we find of interest that happened this week. Joining me, as they always do and have for easily 100 shows apiece, it's John first up.
Hey everybody! I just finished saying the one thing I'll miss about winter is how awesomely cold the tap water is, because it is delish.
Also joining us this week, it's probably a little warmer. The tap water is probably a little warmer there. It's Glacinator, maybe.
Hello. Yes. Yeah. I think I'm here.
Yeah, you're here.
Okay. lag to freaking hell and back. Jesus Christ.
Say hello to the nice people.
Hello. Just got static-y, yeah. I think I'm here. I think I'm here.
Two things for your neck of the woods, Glaze. One, I'm very happy to see that the Brow and the Pelicans are going to the Western Conference playoffs. One, because I think Anthony Davis is the next NBA superstar. And two, because I won $10 off a guy that works at our place. I told him they were going to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder.
No, yeah, that was a great game. I was watching with my dad last night. So I went to two games this season. So, yeah, I mean, we're rooting for them here. I mean, no one really expected them to win last night. So it was a welcome change.
I would suspect they're probably going to get bounced in the first round. The Western Conference is beastly. But I think it's a massive accomplishment for a team that has had a lot of down years. And I think they had better do everything they can to hang on Anthony Davis and build around him.
He's like the only reason why we're this far. Yeah. You have to give props to the whole team, of course, but I mean, he had three critical blocks last night that saved the entire game.
He's just a beast at blocking a basketball. I mean, there's others in the league. He's not the best in the league, but still, he's just got an amazing set of skills. I only saw highlights. I was watching it on a scoreboard while I was editing something. I don't remember what. Something video-ish would be my guess, since we weren't doing WonderPod. And I was just watching the scoreboard, and I finally had to shut it off. It was getting to me. I was like, damn it, I want him to win. We apologize. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty because I know I'm going to cut a bunch of that stuff out of the show. But yeah, I was glad to see the Pelicans in the playoffs. So we'll see where they go from there. The other thing, too, from your Facebook conversation, which I missed because I wasn't watching it because it was being recorded on the DVR. Yeah, I hope that New Orleansites don't think that every year's IndyCar race will be like that one. The weather didn't help them. But from what I saw flashing through the DVR clip, I really like that track, and I think it'll be a great track in years to come, but it's not a good wet weather track. So
I had fun watching. It was it's fun to see him fly off the track into the mud and whatnot. It's very appropriate.
Yeah, the drivers hate wet races. There's some associations, some sanctioning bodies that don't even run in the rain. And in some cases, that's absolutely the right call. But, I think you'd be just as entertained by that track in the dry weather. I'm pretty impressed with what I saw there. Luckily the Indy Racing League isn't too panicky. So one kind of, well, that didn't go super great. Race isn't going to make them, you know, start trying to back out of contracts and other things that have happened in racing before, unfortunately. So I'm looking forward to a bunch more years of New Orleans Grand Prix or whatever they're calling it, Louisiana Grand Prix, something like that. But yeah, that was not a good first go for them, unfortunately. Wasn't bad either.
So, that was right. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's wet race. I mean, they're not going back because the promoters had problems, but they had some races in Brazil where literally some of the lower end parts of the track were underwater. And that's when they finally had to stop because it was raining as hard as I'd ever seen with race cars on a track. I mean, even in an endurance race like the 24 Hours of Le Mans, they'll pull them in if it gets too bad for a bit.
I was listening on the radio about it, and I think they're in plan to like have it a changing schedule for the race here, and that way it would line up with Mardi Gras. So it'd be, I think, the weekend before Mardi Gras, they'd have the race here, which would be pretty cool.
That's not a bad idea, honestly. I mean, I think they did this first date to see how it all went. I heard through social media, media people I follow, they got a pretty good turnout even with the bad weather. That's the other thing. You can't really gauge how good a crowd you had because crappy weather, some people aren't going to stay, especially in the southeast where lightning is, a problem.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's why they washed out the qualifying for that race because there was lightning right off the end of the track. And so it's like, yeah, you can't have people out there for that. That's bad. So we'll see. We'll see. I think it'd be kind of cool to see it the week before Mardi Gras. That'd be kind of badass. So anyways, on to what we normally do. Actually, that's part of what we normally do. There was just a lot going on in New Orleans this time around. So, John, you have been watching the Netflix Daredevil extravaganza.
I have, yeah. I have Juan and I are about, I guess, we're 4 episodes in of a 13 episode series on Netflix, and so this is the it's not the first foray of the current Marvel into TV, but it's their first Netflix exclusive show of from what I understand, it's from there's four th or four new series in total that'll be on Netflix. Daredevil is one, Iron Fist is another, Luke Cage and AKA Jessica Jones, which is based on the Alias comic book, and I guess that's why they can't call it Alias, because there's already been one of them shows. But it's, yeah, apparently this is all heading toward a team-up show called The Defenders, or a movie. I'm not sure if it's a show or a movie, but there'll be The Defenders, and they may have a team-up with the Avengers at some point, so the old Marvel Universe continuity, blah, blah, blah stuff. But this is the first step. And also, Wanda and I have been enjoying it a lot. It's to be honest, I think it could probably use a little bit of Batfleck in there just to tweak things up and make it a little bit better. But it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's I'm done with that. It's boring.
That was some shitty bait, but yeah, it's probably the best. What's one of is so far, I mean, whether you like Daredevil or no, I think it's one of the most mature shows that they, or in terms of if you compare it to the movies, you compare it to other TV shows they've done, it's definitely the most mature and well, I think it's the most well made like thing that they've done trying to be, I mean, granted, Daredevil is a quote unquote superhero, but they don't play it up too much in the show, but it's in terms of like his, super abilities, it's more of a conceit than it is a like in the Daredevil movie where you could see his radar. He kind of talks about the things he can hear and see rather than letting you see the drops of rain fall on somebody's face in a hokey, romantic scene. He pauses to listen for heartbeats and telltale sounds, but he doesn't. It's not as on the nose as the old movie was, but as far, but what I mean is by mature is that in terms of the storytelling and the characters and the script, it's not hokey, it's not tongue in cheek, it's not a winking to the audience, it's a straight up crime show with many players and a You know, like You know how Gotham is a crime show, but it's full of winks and nods, and it is what it is. But I hate to use the word gritty because it is, but that's not what it's about. It's about a good story, and being told in a mature way.
Who's the main bad guy?
Well, in the first couple of episodes, you know. The Kingpin is basically the name. He's not called the Kingpin. He's Wilson Fisk, and he's kind of like a ghost on the lips of everybody. Like no one wants to say his name because he's so well hidden from the general population, despite his power and his control. That crime lords that kind of work below him they won't speak his name. But it's leading to a Kingpin Daredevil showdown, but so far, any introduction to the Kingpin we've had so far, aside from one very vicious outburst, he's been kind of a nice he's been a likable guy. He's trying to keep himself private from the world, but he's found a woman, an art dealer who he cares about a lot, and each time he tries to sit down and have a meal with her, so far something has come up, but she doesn't seem to mind, to be honest. So, but as far as Daredevil himself goes, and he's Matt Murdock. You jump the first episode jumps right into the origin kid. He's a kid. And he's been had an accident where something's gotten into his eyes, and he's gone blind. His father's a boxer who's actually good at what he does, but he's mixed up with the wrong people, and he's a bit of a thug, and he's also taking dives in some of his boxing matches that he could most certainly have won, and he's doing this to make ends meet because they don't have cash, and so the trials of his father and leads Murdoch to want to help clean up Hell's Kitchen where he lives in New York, and so the show, as much as it is, as I said, more mature and has a totally different feel from anything else Marvel has on the go right now, it does acknowledge the fact that it's in the Marvel universe. So just to give an example, the reason why the Kingpin and all these crime lords have so much power and so much money is because of what happened in the Avengers movie. So there's been all this destruction in New York City. So all the mobsters are taking advantage of all the construction jobs and the companies that would need to spring up and making that money, flow around to their benefit. And they're not really willing to give that up. So I think we'll get a little bit deeper into that, conspiracy, not the word, but that I guess conspiracy is the word. The mob, what the mob is doing and behind the scenes. So there's no bullseye. There's no figure out what's the connection between all these crime bosses and who is the, and he's at this point figured out that there's somebody at the top, and somebody has mentioned somebody. He managed to break somebody into mentioning his name, and that guy, he didn't last much longer once he realized what he had done. And it's a good show. I've enjoyed it a lot. And like I said, the superheroing part and the superpowers that we often make a few jabs at and stuff, it's not at the forefront. It's there. It helps him. It helps him. But it doesn't make him unstoppable. Like the fight scenes, for example, Daredevil fights, lots of guys. He doesn't kill anybody, but he has to take them down with punches and kicks and whatever he can throw around. Like if he disarms somebody, he'll throw the gun at somebody's head and phase them before he comes in for a knockdown. But you can watch in the fight scenes that Daredevil gets tired. It's not like you watch Black Widow or Hawkeye walk through a group of people and just take them all down one by one and doesn't even phase them. Daredevil, like again on that more down on the street level, you know, a regular guy, more or less a regular guy with some added abilities, he definitely gets tired. He gets worn down, and so there's an underdog thing there that you're rooting for him rather than just being awed by the fact that he's beating the shit out of everyone he comes across. So there's definitely a feeling of Batman in here, like the Christopher Nolan Batman, because especially where he's wearing right now, up to this point, he's not wearing the red suit. He's wearing this just kind of like a black type outfit with a bandana down pulled down over his eyes, and there's no red suit yet, and and when he takes I won't call them villains, he takes the thugs and tries to interrogate them and giving them some information. He's using kind of a huskier voice a little bit, not as bad as "Tell me where the other drugs are going." Not that bad, but it's a little bit similar. But it's not in a way that's distracting though. So you can tell that there's been some influence or maybe a little bit of inspiration taken from the Nolan Batman stuff. So it's good stuff, a good show. So you guys, I know Bruce said he didn't watch it, but Glace, were you thinking about watching that at all, or?
I am, not because it's Daredevil, but because it's Marvel on Netflix. So I'm more interested in seeing like what you're talking about and how they're handling, incorporating the entire universe rather than Daredevil himself. So I mean, I'm not a fan of Daredevil that much, as we have discussed before. But it in the first episode, did they reference the Ninja Turtles at all in that crossover with the atomic waste or whatever?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you think that's bad? Just wait. I've got a better one.
Oh, a better one.
Yeah, this sounds more like Batman the Ray Charles years. Like Batman went off to summer camp, got blind, and did this for a while.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't know, but.
Well, that's always been the other thing, and it's not one where I would give him shtick. He has very similar origins to Batman in a lot of ways, but there's only so many non-superpower heroes' origins, or let me say that again. There's only so many ways you can, become a non-godlike or superpower hero. So there's always going to be some similarities, but I'm not sure it was smart on whoever's producing and directing the Netflix version to lean more towards the Batman side of Daredevil. Because I felt that even watching the movie, as much as I loathe that movie, it's like, that's kind of Batman, guys. Guys. And it's like, but at the same time, there's always going to be similarities between things that I understand. That said, as much as I think Daredevil is not a good superhero, he's basically a guy with normal sight. He's normal man. This sounds like it was done right, and this sounds like it's really compelling for people who like Daredevil. And that to me is awesome. That will always trump doing the sarcastic, snarky shtick, because with the movie, you took an okay at the time, not much better today, in my opinion, actor. You took a weak superhero and you made just an abysmal movie out of it. It was such a bad combo. But as much as I don't like the superhero, I saw potential for it to be done better. And it seems like Netflix has done that, and whoever's behind it.
Well, it would be Marvel, really. I mean, the previous one was it was a Fox property, and this is Marvel Studios is shot at Daredevil post Fox.
Right. But what I meant was director, producer, people.
Literally the people, yeah.
Who
Okay.
I have no clue. I see people going bananas about it on my social media, which tells me that overall nerds like it, which anytime the movie's brought up, and in a lot of cases Affleck as Batman's brought up, you see the other the pendulum swing the other way, you know. I'm not saying that social media or that the nerds who inhabit it are right, but you can gauge the mood. You can gauge how the horde is feeling about something.
Yeah.
And so the bottom line there is they all, or, you know, the sense you get is the movie is universally hated. I just happen to be part of the horde in that instance. But the pendulum has swung back the other way with this Netflix show and the way it was done. And I must say that if you do it right, going the Christopher Nolan direction in this day and age is never a bad thing. There's just a lot of pitfalls to doing it that way. I referenced the TV show Gotham as the pitfall to doing things gritty and you know, more real.
Mm-hmm.
Because I they didn't do it right. They went too far. And now it looks, you know, the first two episodes of that show seem more like Sin City to me. Just not as good. Sin City, the movie. Still need to see the second one. But I'm glad you like it. Like, honestly, at the end of the day, that's what's important. I'll make my jokes and do my shtick here on the show, but I'm definitely not against anybody liking and loving something that I don't. And so, to me, that's super cool.
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things I was planning on or thinking that I might have to say after coming out of it was Marvel oversaturation. But it's just that pretty much everything they're doing these days is pretty decent. It's hard to complain about oversaturation if you're being entertained. So,
well, that's the razor blade you walk, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're only oversaturated when quality starts to decline. Hell, that applies in economic principles as well. Apparently, it doesn't apply to media and information. In fact, principles, though, be oversaturated with garbage trying to scare you to death. But tangent aside, so, I mean, Marvel right now seems to have a golden horseshoe.
Yep.
But, you know, how long can they keep that going? Eventually, no matter how good the quality, you still reach a saturation level.
It's got to, right?
Yeah. Well, past performance indicates future, you know, future potential. You tend to see that with franchises and companies of any sort, where, you know, eventually there's too much of them out there and people get bored of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Marvel's going to have that problem for a while, though.
No.
Because they still have a ton of compelling characters, and the Avengers alone's worth probably at least one more movie after the one that's already in production. So, you know, I tell you, he's one of my favorite superheroes of the few superheroes I actually will claim to pay attention to. But I tell you, the one that I thought might be a train wreck because of who was the actor, or who the actor was, let me speak English, the Deadpool movie might turn out to be okay.
Yeah, it might.
Not a big fan of Ryan Reynolds, but they leave the mask on him for most of the time. We'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, that's another case where somebody seems to understand sticking to the core traits of the character rather than going, you know, veering left too far. Works.
Well, that's where Ryan Reynolds works. Because Deadpool's kind of a goof.
Yeah.
He's obviously a very deadly goof. But, you know, I think Ryan Reynolds is going to do extremely well in that role. Did you hear that he actually got hit by a car? Did you guys see that news?
No.
They're filming up there in British Columbia, and apparently I didn't read the particulars. I just read the headline and then the little two think blurb. I don't know if he was crossing the street in a parking lot or what, but he got bumped by a car. He was fine. He went back to filming the next day, so I think it was probably that's why I said bump. You know, again,
yeah.
Media. Oh, he was hit by a car. And it's like, he's not dead. It didn't say dead in parentheses, so I'm gonna assume it wasn't too bad. But well, that's good. I'm glad you're liking it, John.
Yeah, I also watched the first episode of the new season of Game of Thrones. Which was all set up because it's so early, but that was good too. I'm looking forward to watching more of those.
Sounds like four or five of the review what we'll call a review copy episode was leaked.
Yeah, the first four episodes. Yeah, I may or may not have those, but I may or may not have watched them.
If you watch them. Watch them again when they're really out, because I don't remember. It might have been Ben. It was Ben Kachura of Polygon who said that those are basically DVD rips in S standard definition, and they are garbage compared to what you see. He said, even as a reviewer, you watch those to get a sense of what the show and the plot is, so you can get your review out immediately. He said a lot of review. If I recall in his article, he said a lot of reviewers then watch the HD one when it launches, so then you can just put your review out afterwards. Mm-hmm. But he said there's so much you miss in the format that they send those to reviewers. I'm getting to the point now where I'm getting tired of that crap. Impatient people who can't wait. It's like, but at the same time, while I'm personally getting tired of it, I guess if there's a market out there for it, people are going to do it. I just can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard enough good things about Game of Thrones that when it's over, and believe it or not, I've avoided the majority of spoilers. There's been a couple. Obviously, the Red Wedding. Come on.
Yeah.
That, how can you not at least slightly be spoiled just by the name of it? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think when it's over, said and done, and it's a collection, I will purchase it digitally and then binge watch them all. Just because I like high fantasy. You know? That's my kind of thing. So. But I have no interest in being part of the moment. I can watch it at a later date. I'm okay with that. But as for me, if you didn't see my video, which I was really fairly proud, which it's rare I even want to express that emotion personally, that I actually got that up on launch day. It wasn't the best impressions video ever. It wasn't the best I've done, but GTA 5 for PC has launched. I'm not going to do much of what I said in my impressions video. If you want to watch that, go to Bruce McGee's YouTube channel, or YouTube Bruce McGee, which has an awesome, awesome, awesome new banner by Glacinator. I was not badgering him behind the scenes. I just badgered him on the show for comedic purposes, but he did do an awesome banner, which I then went and added a little more black to so I could use it on my Twitch channel as well, that I never stream on. But the game is friggin' awesome. It's like no other GTA to me. Now, I've played them all, in some form and to some extent. Now, the early ones, it was on a buddy's console or, you know, sitting on the couch co-op, as John's called it. And yeah, while they were fun, they were never something I wanted to tackle on my own. But GTA 5, the hype was high, but it's, as far as I'm concerned, come damn close to living up to all the hype. I really wish Rockstar would not make us wait so long for the PC versions, but at that same time, it was totally worth the wait. I'm extremely happy with what I'm seeing and what I've played so far. I'm playing solo mode only at the moment. My general day involves, or my general play sessions involve, doing two or three missions and then going what I call on McGee rampages, especially now since I've unlocked sticker bombs. Actually, I just unlocked RPGs too here just about 2 hours before the show, so you can expect I will be going on another rampage. It's GTA, but with a better feel. In my impressions video, I said it felt more like Saints Row to me, and I didn't dwell too much on that in my impressions, and that's kind of where I want to go with this on the podcast. Saints Row, you feel challenged, you feel at times frustrated, but overall, you are having a blast the entire experience. That's what GTA 5 feels like. GTA 4 felt very cliched, very boring, and the controls were such junk that it, you know, it just was never fun and never felt like I should continue to take part in it. You know, in fact, I think back on a prior episode, I talked about how the keyboard and mouse felt so bad playing GTA 4 that I tried it again when I got my Wired 360 controller. And it still felt like garbage. GTA 5 just feels way more fluid. The controls of the combat and the vehicles are still GTA. There's no two ways about that. But Rockstar has done a much better job polishing it. The only vehicle at this point that I find, I won't call it frustrating, but it could be, in certain situations, is a helicopter. And what has helped me out there is flying Arma 3's idea of super realistic helicopters, which means they went too far and refused to admit that they don't know what a helicopter handles like. Because flying anything in Arma 3 takes a lot of patience and repetition. And so, while I've had my fair share of issues with helicopters in GTA 5, it hasn't been bad. It's interesting that it's the first game, I think, where I've actually done better with planes off the bat than I have helicopters. It's usually the reverse in Battlefield, all the Battlefields, Arma. But the story is, it's a typical gangster story. The cool thing is it's split up around three people. So you switch back and forth. You're kind of seeing three different guys' lives, but it's definitely gangster stuff. I mean, I suppose to a point it's cliched. But it's still interesting. It's still compelling. It's got the Rockstar humor, which I like. It's a bit over top in violence at times. I was surprised by one or two things, which was a little surprising to me, because normally it's like, it's a video game. But there were a few things that were pretty shocking. Overall, it's just a good game. And the great thing is, and one last thing I wanted to point out about why I decided to wait and get it on PC is I still have not set foot in GTA Online, and I may not until Agent K finally gets off his ass and decides he wants to play it on PC, which he may never, and that's fine because he's got it on PS4. And there's also modding, which takes games like GTA and breathe life into them for years. I mean, there's still people, myself included at times, as I've said before, playing Skyrim. I mean, Agent K and his girlfriend are playing Skyrim because they found a mod where they could play co-op over LAN. You know, somebody modded it. So while the idea of playing with Glace was interesting, and as much as I love playing video games with Glacinator, we just played some Killing Floor again recently, I just really wanted to get it on PC because of mods and because I know that I'll go back to it again and again and again. I mean, it's basically the only game I've played this week is GTA 5. I played a little Minecraft too, but that's more my, I'm really tired and done for the day. I need some relaxation. But I think what's so fascinating to me is I was really, really nervous leading up to launch thinking, God, did I just buy another GTA 4? And not only that, did I pay full price for it. I was really going to be kicking myself. And it's far exceeded my expectations. I will be putting a lot of hours into this. Let's just put it that way. I mean, hell, I could spend 2 hours just driving around throwing sticky bombs at people and blowing them up and then outrunning the cops. I think the longest the game, I don't always quite agree with the timer in the game, but I think the longest I've kept up what I call a McGee rampage, where I see how many times I can get stars and how long I can keep it, is about 45 minutes to an hour. It really helps if you use an 18 wheeler and a lot of sticky bombs. But now I want to come back to something, and that's what we'll start off the show part with GTA, because there is something I'm not happy about. But it has nothing to do with the game itself. But I heard prior to the show, imagine that Glace actually picked it back up on 360 and is now going through the story again. So.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, because we were talking about it last week, and I had mentioned that I had just stopped playing for literally no reason at all. I mean, I had sort of gotten to a lull in the game. I guess I was maybe about 3/4 of the way through, but I think I'm about to do the final heist, unless there's some sort of final act after this final act that I'm not aware of. Which could be the case. I mean, it is Rockstar, right? They're known for, having extra stuff after what you think is the end. So I may have still have a while to go, but I think it says like I'm about 65 to 70% done, by now at least. I was in a lull. I mean, it's done now. It's definitely picked up the pace. There's a point, I guess, about maybe 55, 60% of the way through the game where it's just a lot of driving to pick up people missions. Which is kind of boring. I mean, the map is huge, which is great, but I mean, there's some times where it's like you have to go from the mountains all the way to like to the bay, and it's just like, oh God. And you just sit in the car and just drive there, and it's kind of like just want to like fast travel or something. Usually, when that happens, I get a dune buggy, and I instead of like driving on the interstate, I just drive across all the mountain ranges, which I mean does end up taking like 30 minutes extra, but it's more fun for me to end up flying over the Hollywood sign rather than obeying traffic, some sort of traffic law.
I clipped the top of that sign. That's the first thing I did. The first thing I did, because I've watched so many Let's Plays of it, mostly from Achievement Hunter, but from guys like, Frankie on PC and Jacksepticeye. And I went to Chilliad, got on a motorcycle, tried to make it to the bottom of the mountain. It didn't go well. I went off the side where you go off the hang glider pad. Yeah, it didn't go
Oh
well.
yeah, that's the steep side.
I landed the first two jumps. But the third one, I had to have been 70 or 80 feet in the air. And I'm looking down going, I'm really glad I got that pre-order bonus money. Because I literally had just, it just let me loose to do whatever I wanted. And I'm like, splat. I didn't even hit anything else. I just literally fell from like 60 to 70
Have you
feet.
done on like a normal bike yet?
That's the plan for this weekend. I've got to actually be at the ranch tomorrow, and I got a lot quite a bit of stuff to do, so I don't know how much I'm gonna do tomorrow with GTA 5, but that's the plan this weekend if Rage and K doesn't drag me into anything. Well, he won't be dragging me if he doesn't talk me into anything. Playing something else. I want to do it on a mountain bike. I finally stole one and got it in a garage because I couldn't find them. But the second thing I did was I got in one of the dune buggies, which the Achievement Hunter guys like. What the hell are they called in the game? They're called something ridiculous. But I tried to jump the Vinewood sign. I clipped the top of it, and I really. It's the only time in free play where I'm not shooting with the idea of putting together a video out of it, where I wish I'd had a video. Oh, dude, I did like six barrel rolls. Because I just clipped the top of the sign, and I did like six barrel rolls in the air, and when it landed, I'm like, damn it, that's twice, that's 10 grand I've wasted in like 15 minutes. Because for those of you that haven't played the game, it costs you 5 grand every time you die. So I'm like, okay, I think I better go do some missions now. I'm gonna be broke here in about 5 minutes if I'm not careful.
I mean, I don't know why I have so much fun with the bike in that game. I mean, because really, I mean, it's just a bike. I think it's because you're so exposed, and I mean, even on motorcycles, you feel sort of safe. Like, I mean, you have some sort of padding, you know, in the front and back of you, and you just fly off. But like, I have fun just like riding through traffic in downtown on the bicycle, and like trying to dodge cars on the freeway. I guess it's because like I can't do that in real life, and I've always wanted to. Like, I mean, that's all GTA is like doing stuff that you would never do in real life. But like, I mean, like, I would never like want to like rob a bank or kill someone, but I would honestly want to ride my bicycle against traffic on the freeway, as retarded as that sounds. But I don't know. I get a lot of enjoyment out of the bicycle. I think the other day, that's all I was doing was just riding the bike everywhere.
You know what's amazing though? I mean, that's what the game's about though. Yeah, they give you missions and stuff to do, and you can go play online with people, do races, all that stuff. But that's what they finally nailed correct in GTA that never felt like it was in that series before, but always felt like it was in the Saints Row series. You could spend an entire day not doing anything, like, mission wise,
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
and
I don't
have
know if you've run
blast.
into any of the little, not side missions, but like interactive things, the little blue dots that come up on your map.
Oh yeah,
There's,
I love those. You know
yeah,
why?
they took that from Red Dead. You know, those
Oh,
little,
that's right, they did.
yeah, they did a great job in incorporating that. So like sometimes you'll be driving and they're like, oh, someone stole my purse, or like, oh, there's someone. The other day, I never, this never happened to me before, but like I walked into a clothing store and it was in the middle of being robbed. And so like I walked in and like, get on the ground, and like I have my hand behind my head, you know, hands behind my head. And like as soon as they turn around to leave, like I just shoot both of them in the back of the head and then take their money and then run away. Just all kinds of little things like that is, I think, what makes the game for me.
I'm glad you said that because I knew that seemed familiar to me. The pop-up things, and I just couldn't remember from where. But yeah, John, you played Red Dead. Like you could run across somebody being robbed or a woman being harmed in
Yep.
Red Dead. Same thing in GTA 5.
Okay.
My rule is, Glaze, first off, I like doing those with Michael because he has the bullet time.
Oh
So then I could shoot from a lot further away to stop them. Or I just run them over with a car. And usually a few pedestrians. Yeah, well, I said on Twitter, and I said, I think in the video, I can't blame my crappy driving on anything now. It's like shit. Before I could blame it on Rockstar's crappy controls, now it's just my bad driving in video games or in non-racing video games. Yeah, probably there too. And then you could decide if you want to give it back or not. Now, my usual thing is if it's over $1,000, McGee is keeping it. If it's $1,000 or under, I'll give it back. The funny one though, and I guess it's just because of the way games have to be coded. Dude got his motorcycle stolen. I was playing as Franklin because I've gotten far enough in that Franklin's got that house in the Vinewood Hills. Which is nice. I like the house, but God, those roads are so damn narrow. It's hard to get any car in and out of there without wrecking something. At least if you're me, and always in a hurry. And the guy's like, "Oh, that guy just stole my bike. I spent all the money I had on that bike." So I just ran the guy over, whack, and it knocked the bike on the ground. I jump out, get on the bike, hand it back to him. And as I'm handing it back to him, and he's all happy. You see these big skid marks where the car rolled over it, like the damage to it. And he's so happy. And all I'm thinking, it's a Ducati, probably 1098 style bike or 999, one of the two. And I'm like, it would cost 5 or 6 grand to repair what I just did to it, or getting your bike back. But one thing you're absolutely right about, Glaze, and the thing I find interesting, some of the sports cars are a little too squirrely even for sports cars. I understand that they're quicker turning, so you got to be more careful with them. But like the Porsche 911 knockoff in that game to me is almost undrivable. It doesn't corner. It's so slidey. It's so loose. But the bikes are actually awesome. Both bicycle and street bike. I was surprised how well they handle. I actually enjoy riding both.
I think what makes it so nice with the bikes is that when you turn on the bikes and like lean, then the camera leans as well. don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, I did. And it's funny because I had the backup plan of, I basically had the same, I should back up entirely. Essentially, I was thinking in terms of Dragon Age Origins. So I had backup plan after backup plan if this game had been not to my liking. I was going to play with keyboard and mouse until it pissed me off, and then I was going to switch to wired 360 controller. The keyboard and mouse works awesome on everything but helicopters. You actually have to use WASD and the number pad for helicopters. Now, if I'm playing a GTA Online, I may just give up and do what I'm seeing a lot of YouTubers do, which is switch to a wireless or wired controller. But I also may try rebinding the keys. But what amazes me is the camera and the controls track really well with mouse and keyboard. It's very rare, even though you're using two separate things, and I know it'd be much easier on a controller, that I feel like I'm out of place with the camera. And yeah, I did notice it leans with the bikes, which is awesome in first person. Have you played much in first person on the 360?
There's no first person on 360.
I thought that, didn't it get the update? Because I thought one of the consoles got the update.
I thought it was only for Xbox One and like PS4.
Okay, maybe you're right. Yeah, I think it was. I think it was probably only Xbox One. I don't know about you guys. I'm glad Rockstar did that because so many people clamored for it. But that game is such a third-person game. The only time I found first-person useful is in big combat sequences. Like, I just did the FIB mission, Glace, with the armored car. You know, where it's all three of you, Trevor, Franklin, and Michael.
There's like seven FIB
missions. Right, but the one where you rammed the armored car.
Okay.
I did that all in first person because it was just too damn difficult to shoot in third person. I mean, I was halfway through it before I decided. But running in first person sucks. I can't stand it. Driving in first person kind of stinks unless you're just screwing around. So I'm glad Rockstar added it in, but honestly, you're really not missing anything. That is really a third person game. You know.
In first person, when you're in the car, are you actually behind the wheel? Like, do you see your hands?
No, you just see out the windshield.
Okay.
You might.
I think that'd be cool. Like, I mean, you have the first person already. You know, naturally in the game for cars, where it's like on the hood, and it's just like empty space in front of you. But I'd like to have some sort of view where it's like you in the car, like you can look left and right in the car and see the seats. You know, like the radio and everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you think of the rest of the game, but you like Arma 3 for that. That has to, I mean, it's all military vehicles. There's a few civilian vehicles. But first person, as far as being able to see the interior and what you're looking at, and then, of course, obviously out the windshield, Arma 3's probably done it the best of any game I've played.
I know Battlefield had that, too.
Yeah, Battlefield was pretty decent. It was pretty decent, if I recall right. I'm trying to remember if it was in 3. I think it was.
I just think it'd be cool, like, with all the stuff you already have in the game, like, you know, changing the radio. Like, your character could actually reach and change the dial on the radio or press a button or whatever.
Yeah, for future recording, I'm going to have to just turn the music off because apparently there's been some YouTube yoinkage over copyrighted music.
So. What's your favorite station?
I kind of switch between three. I switch between the West Coast Classics,
yep,
the rock station at the very top of the pane, the circle, when it's playing decent stuff. It plays a lot of crap that I wouldn't even consider rock. And then there's a punk one at about 2 or 3 o'clock on a clock on that circle, that I really like. The music is actually really good in this. I've never thought that the music in the previous GTAs really tied in all that well or really kind of flowed as well with it as it has in Saints Row. But they did a damn good job with it this time. I actually like listening to music while I'm in the car. And then when a song comes on that kind of fits what you're doing, it's even better. And they did a really good job with that.
I like the funk soul station.
I don't think I've listened to that one too much. Maybe I'll have to some. But yeah,
it's great to like run over people to that music. I don't know.
Yeah, there's just no way to play. I mean, even though you could return people's stuff, John, there's just no way to play this game friendly. I mean, it just almost kind of, I don't know, almost kind of morphs you a little bit. Like, at first, you're kind of being all careful and this and that. And the next thing you know, you're running up on the sidewalk, and it's like, oh, that's an 80-year-old lady flying over the windshield. Oh, well. And you just, I don't know, it just kind of warps you for a bit while you're playing it. In fact, in some cases, I probably wouldn't recommend driving. Actually driving in real life for a bit after you get done playing. But, yeah, it's really good. So, anything else, Glaze? On that, or actually, I want to ask you: Are you gonna go ahead and finish out the story? Are you gonna?
Yeah, I think so. I should be done probably by the end of the weekend, I would think.
I plan to finish it, as I think I told you before that we started recording when John was grabbing water. I don't think I'm gonna try and 100% the game. I had that in mind, but I think you have to get all gold medals, and there's a few missions. There's no way in hell I'm gonna get golds. It's just not gonna happen. In fact, the only bitch I have of it is much like Red Dead Rockstar, they over-explain stuff to you in some missions and then don't explain well enough in others. Rockstar does that consistently, and it's frustrating, but I've gotten so used to it with them. You know, it's just like, Jesus, guys, come on. You over-explained how I walk down a block and get in a car, and then you don't tell me shit in this one complicated bit. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know. It's funny. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I'm failing anymore. There was one time where I got super frustrated, almost on the edge of being angry. But most of the time when I fail, it's just like, ah, okay. I failed a bunch of times trying to pick up the submarine in one mission. And it's like, damn it. Cargo bomb in the ocean again. All right, let's go again. But one thing I did want to say, and then we're done. We'll move on to probably Star Wars stuff. I saw some news today concerning GTA 5 on PC that modders had hacked, and actually hacked, into the files of the game so that they could get access to the ones that they needed to start modding, because Rockstar has not officially allowed that yet. I'm going 50-50 on this one, people. I think modders need to be more patient. You're modders. I fight every time somebody tries to call you idiots a hacker or misuses the terms. Don't friggin' let me down. Have a little more patience. Oh no, you can't start doing what you want with the game. Don't go there. Quit it. I mean, it's obviously already too late. But at the same time, Rockstar, it's PC. This isn't console. This isn't a little closed-off system where people have to do what you tell them to do with updates. This thing should have been moddable from day one. It's kind of ridiculous at this point to not let people just have at it, because there's so many games, as I said earlier, that have benefited massively from modding. You know, but I can't say either side is completely right. You know, because it's, at least give Rockstar a week or two, modders. I mean, come on. I know this much. I'm not playing a mod until Rockstar calls it official that it's okay. Because so many mods, when they're that sketchy, and it's kind of done by backdoor methods, could fuck your game completely. And I don't want to take any chances with that. Modding is something you have to be into to kind of do in the first place, and I don't mean making mods, I mean actually playing them. You gotta be willing to tinker a lot of the time. But I'm not taking the chance of it wrecking my game and Rockstar going, well, that's what you get for fucking with that. So I'll just wait until it's officially okay. But it's stupid of Rockstar. I mean, I saw the headline and I went, well, that's obvious. Impatient script twats can't freaking wait until Rockstar gives the okay. I'm hoping that Rockstar and 2K won't be bullheaded and try and fight back. I'm kind of hoping that they'll maybe pull in their horns a little bit and let people do it. But we'll see. But that's enough. It's enough GTA 5. Enough me talking. John, There was a Star Wars trailer out today.
Turns out there was.
I did not watch it. I have said multiple times I have no interest in the hype this early into the game. But I truly believe that people that enjoyed it should have their say. These guys enjoyed it. So, John, why don't you and Glaze talk about the Star Wars trailer?
Oh, yeah. well, Glaze, how about you go first this time? And I talked a lot about Daredevil. You go ahead and give us the intro spiel.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm not going to describe the trailer shot for shot because, I mean, you can just go watch it, you know, if you want to do that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'll say that, I mean, I really liked it. I got crazy goosebumps at the end. So nice to see. But, I mean, what really impressed me, besides that initial, like, ooh, you know, excitement from it, is that it is just really, at least the shots that they're choosing for these trailers are really well set up. And you might want to hear this, Bruce. You might like this. The way that the shots are is that they're sort of lined, not lined up, but I mean they're set up so that they're very open and wide shots, like traditional Star Wars is. Very Western and very, you know, traditional samurai movie style, you know, which is how the original movies were. I mean, the opening shot is a very long, wide desert shot. You know, basically all these shots, I mean, like a really big Good, the Bad, the Ugly sort of vibe from them. So what's the guy's name that did those? Gosh, do you guys know the Good, the Bad, the Ugly guy?
What's his name? Oh, Clint Eastwood.
Not Clint Eastwood, but the director.
Oh, the Spanish guy.
Yeah, Spanish guy. Well, you guys know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, you, Sergio Leone.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. I'm getting a huge vibe from that, just from this trailer and the other trailer a little bit too. I mean, it looks good, and there's stuff on the screen, but there's not a lot of stuff on the screen, which I really like. I mean, the reason why the first three Star Wars movies I think are so much more beloved than the other three. Is that, I mean, it's a very clear and defined storyline. I mean, there's definite good, there's definite bad, you know, there's like all the elements of a good story there. And there's stuff going on in the background, sort of, but I mean, really, you have your main elements there throughout that original trilogy that don't overcomplicate things. And I think this trailer is really showing off that J.J. Abrams is not trying to get too crazy with it. So, I mean, there's obviously going to be huge, awesome set pieces, but I mean, it seems toned down in a good way from the last three movies. So I don't know if you got that vibe either, John.
Well, I mean, based on a small trailer, it does seem less busy, which is good. There's a temptation to throw as much as you can on screen. I would agree that there's certainly a feel that they're going to go a little less, well, just by the fact that droid is not a digital effect at all, and it's actually something that runs around on the ground. Have you seen
the video of the prop for that
on the stage at the at
yeah
the, yeah the convention thing? Yeah, it's a real deal thing. That's cool. I mean, that there's something about that appeals to me, that there's an attention to detail without too many things going on and getting back to grassroots maybe a little bit, or at least as much as you can in 2015, right? So, yeah, I don't know. There's a pretty positive vibe coming out of it for me, and it's a good feeling.
Are we done? Are we done?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much stuff, so I'm trying to keep it vague.
Yeah, well, it's there's. I mean, it's hard to avoid some of the stuff that goes on. I mean, it's only a trailer. Yeah. The cameo at the end put a pretty big smile on my face. And
I already know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
People were yammering about that. Yeah, I wouldn't consider that a spoiler, personally.
No, I mean, my Twitter feed of the trending topics of the 20 of them, I would say 15 were Star Wars related, and there seemed like there's some really good stuff in there. You know, Han Solo and Chewbacca, thumbs up. I mean, everyone knows they're in there, but it was cool to have a shot of them and coming. I don't know what they're coming home to, but you know, other than the double meaning of with the series, but yeah, it's good stuff. I don't want to get myself as much as, like my Facebook message said, I am sufficiently hyped. I don't want to get overhyped by analyzing it to death. I'm
yeah.
You know, if it came out tomorrow, I'd be happy. I'll admit that. But if it, I'm trying not to overanalyze what's being shown.
Yeah, I mean, people are going into like online, like, oh, he said, is alive rather than was alive, you know, and stuff like that. Not to get too specific, and people are really going into that. I'm like, I just think it looks pretty. Like, that's the vibe that I got from it. It looks really nice.
Well, that's how you wreck a movie for yourself. And I don't know how those people that overanalyze every last little detail are going to enjoy the movie at all. J.J. Abrams is just better hope, as I've said all along, that that isn't the majority. You know, I see two problems here. One of them has to do with the movie itself. The other doesn't, but it's one that's been bugging me for a while. Okay, so it's April of 2015. This is the second teaser trailer. How are they not going to repeat the mistake that the prequels did and give away half the fucking movie by the time we get to 2016 and its release date?
I don't know.
It seems like most of the shots that they're doing are from maybe the first 5 minutes of the movie. I mean, because that initial shot in the first trailer with the lady on the speeder, it's the shot in this one seemed to be like the second shot right after that. So
right, but if you don't do enough trailers between now and when your movie releases, winter of 2016.
Yeah.
I said earlier this week on Twitter that fucking in the U.S. presidential candidates should not be allowed to announce their candidacy until the year of the fucking election. It should be the same goddamn thing with movies.
Wait, it's not this year? I thought it was the end of this year.
No, it's fucking November of
2016. I don't think so.
What? Oh, no. Star Wars? I thought it was I thought I got jumped to 2016.
It's Christmas this year.
Oh, so it is actually this year.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
There was a rumor floating around that it was getting jumped to 2016.
No, the trailer is like this Christmas.
I told you, I haven't watched the trailer. I refuse. I refuse to watch any of this fucking garbage.
Well, I mean, it's been announced that it was this year.
The end of the trailer says December.
Yeah, I didn't watch the trailer.
I'm just telling you what it is.
There was talk that it was getting jumped to 2016. That's where I got confused. And then I stopped paying attention because I don't care.
I think, is 2016 the spinoff movie?
Yeah, the X-Wing movie, yeah.
Well, then there's less of that. My problem is less valid if I got confused, which is entirely possible and awesome. It's coming out this December, but still, I sit there and I fear it that by the time we get there, we'll know that.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you think they would space them out a little bit more? I mean, because there's going to have to be another huge one for the Avengers trailer. I mean, for the Avengers movie, you know, in front of that.
Well, and then you've got Comic-Con, you got San Diego Comic-Con, you've got probably not E3, but you've got a couple other big conventions.
Yeah, you've got at least four more big potential trailer releases.
Between now and December.
Yeah.
But you got to keep up the hype.
I mean, I think the hype has been keeping up. I mean, I'm not sure how much higher it can go, honestly.
Well, look, you know, if it doesn't
go well, I had old moms on my Facebook posting about this. Like,
well, if it doesn't go well for them, I'm it's a byproduct of how the media works now, which is fucking garbage. But also, by the way, I do know there's the election is not till 2016. So you Republicrats, go fuck yourselves. Get off my fucking goddamn media until 2016. Because I'm tired of your asses, all of you, fucking zealots. But okay, that makes me less worried about that. But I still think they don't learn. They don't learn from the mistakes of the past at all. And they're going to kill it. I'm not saying it's going to be Star Wars, but a big, beloved franchise is going to get killed deader than a hammer because of this hype machine mentality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be more worried for the spinoffs for that reason. Besides it being part of that franchise, I mean, it doesn't have really much to back up the credibility of whether it's a good movie or not. So, I mean, if the trailers mislead for the spinoffs, I think that's going to be a larger problem.
I don't know, John. Do you think the spinoffs have the power to kill off the entire franchise? I'm not as worried about those. I'm worried about the main trilogy more than anything.
It's hard to say. I mean, it has potential. If they're the drizzling shits, yes. I would say if the first one is bad, and especially if the second one is bad, I mean, I'm sure they'll make money. But I mean, I could see them very, very, very quickly pulling the plug on further ones to keep the other ones from being diluted too much, you know, so they don't suck the wind out of those sales, because that main trilogy is going to sell the most stuff, you know, this toys and movies and copies of whatever's and digital downloads and games, and you know, I would say Disney might be shrewd enough to pull the plug on the spin-offs if they sucked.
Oh, they never should have happened. They're cash grabs.
They totally are.
I just don't, and I hate using that term because now it's getting overused like everything else does, but I just don't see there being a good standalone movie and a spinoff. Because that's not what their focus is. Their focus is making the main trilogy. You can't. If I thought the focus was as intense on the spinoffs as they are in the main trilogy, then I'd be okay with it. But it does me better to know that it's 2015 that I got confused with the spinoffs. But I can tell you, honestly, audience and you two, that's not why I refuse to watch the trailers. It had nothing to do with the release date, per se. It just has to do with, no, I'm done with it. I want to go in and watch a movie. I don't want to watch it in 30-second sound bites and nerds overanalyzing it. No thanks. I'm done with it. I just literally am. The other problem I had, you were talking about, I came back in from actually rescuing my dog from trying to get a lizard out of a bush. Never mind. There's becoming this hipster, hippie, dipshit. Unfortunately, a couple of the dipshits are people I like. Movement of practical effects, oh, fuck CGI. You know, we're going too far with that crap, too. I want it to look good, okay? That's my bottom line. If it looks more authentic as a practical effect, then do it. If it looks better CGI, then do it. I'm getting a little nervous about this push, what do you call it, grassroots? That's not fair. Pushback against the computers and goddamn animations and that. There's a balance there. I'm happy to see practical back, but it doesn't work well everywhere. So I'm hoping that Abrams is smart enough, and I believe he is, to make that mix the proper mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, as an animator, I feel that like animation is best used as a tool in live action movies rather than as, you know, in as specific set pieces or characters. So in these past few trailers, I mean, all the backgrounds I assume are CGI. I mean, there's no way they built these huge, you know, desert landscapes, you know. So, but in terms of like the characters and like these robots and stuff, I mean, I think, and this is where I disagree with you, 100% of the time, a real effect is going to be better than an animated effect. If they had somehow built in Lord of the Rings a looking real golem, I think that would have been a lot better than the CGI golem. I mean, of course, then you have the argument, I mean, CGI Yoda did look a little bit better than puppet Yoda. But that's how many years of difference there, you know? But I think we're at the point right now in movies where we can be selective with where we use animation. And I think we should be, and not take the easy way out.
It's pretty funny because I think it's about 80% of the time that it should be practical for main characters. But the argument I'm going to use against you is Gollum. You are, and I've had other people come at me with the same argument that you're coming at me with. And obviously we're never going to know, so it's semantics at best. But I just do not think there's any way you make a puppet do what the CGI Gollum could do. And I think it added to the character. And that, to me, is the key with should a character be CGI or practical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a good point. I mean, Gollum was an organic thing. You know, and these robots aren't organic. They're, you know, hard edges, you know, shapes, which are easy to fabricate. So, I mean, you can make the argument that if it's, you know, a mechanical creature, then it's better to have a practical effect. But if it's something that has, like, organs and has to breathe and all this stuff, then maybe some enhancing of CGI or complete CGI would be better.
Well, here's the problem, though, and here's where you run against the machine of Hollywood. If you go back to, well, I can't, Citizen Kane. I was going to say Rosebud again. I can never remember the name of Citizen Kane. If you go back to Citizen Kane, there's a lot of stuff Orson Welles did in that, including the aging of Kane and other characters with completely practical effects, obviously. And it was done amazingly. But he had the time and freedom to do it right. Therein lies the problem with modern filmmaking. Budgets, time, schedule, studios crawling up your ass even worse. So I would be for more organic practical effects if they can be done right. But they're extremely hard to do right in the pace that a lot of movies are filmed.
I mean, of course. I mean, this is just an idealistic, you know, argument here. I mean, there's no way you're going to have a practical effect Transformers movie, you know. I mean,
oh, Michael
because
Bay
you'd
would
be
have still...
literally building an actual Transformer.
Michael Bay would have still found a way to fuck it up, even if it had been practical effects. And that's the other problem. I think we sometimes have to turn a blind eye to the idiots that just go too far with it. He couldn't make a good movie without them. You see what I'm saying? He couldn't make that good a movie without them. He doesn't make good movies with them. He's a good argument for going too far with CGI, but he's not a good argument for why CGI is bad. He's just bad. You know? But yeah, building a six-story Transformer in practical. I love practical effects, don't get me wrong. Every time there's a pushback against something, it's some hippie hipster dipshit with an agenda trying to take us back to the 30s, and it's like, you can't go back. Introducing it better, or introducing it to make things better in an overall sense is always awesome, and I like to see that. And that's kind of what I feel Adam Savage of the Mythbusters is advocating a lot of times when he talks about it. But there's just, you're not going to make organics look as good as you can in CGI unless you've got a ton of time. Unless you're Guillermo del Toro, then maybe. But, yeah, that Gollum is an interesting example because that, I don't think it's so much how he looked, Glaze, as how he moved. I mean, yeah. Andy Serkis is unbelievable. End of story. As far as voice, wait, was it, Serkis was the voice, right?
He was also the motion capture guy.
Did he do the mocap too?
Yeah, he was everything, yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was both. I, again, get confused, like 2015, 2016. Okay, so he did do the movements as well. Hey, that CGI was as good as it was because Serkis did an amazing job as well. You know. I mean, part of what kills Jar Jar Binks for me has nothing to do with the nerd outrage. It has to do with the fact that they could have done a little better with his movements. And it probably wouldn't have been so off-putting to me. But some of his movement was so meh that it's like, I don't want to watch this guy. But yeah, Glaze, my take is 80% of characters, and I only put that percentage on it because people want a number they can quantify, and 80% feels right to me. I think 80% of the time you should have your characters, especially main or right below main characters, be practical effects if possible. I mean, C-3PO and R2-D2 are probably two of the greatest practical effects characters ever created, and they wouldn't be that good CGI.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Interstellar, Bruce?
Not yet. It's on the list, though.
Okay, because the robot in that, I thought was CGI, but was actually a practical effect that they enhanced in post-production.
I think Weta did that one, and those guys are just fucking mind-blowing. If it was them.
There's a thing online video where like it's like the making of. You should totally watch that.
I think I've already seen that.
He's called Tars, and he's like these two blocks that sort of walk.
Yeah. Once.
Yeah. I think that's like the perfect combination of practical effect and CGI on top of it. I mean, because you have an actor, a puppeteer manipulating the thing, and then later on you can add the screens, you know, the shading, the get rid of the guy in the back with the strings, you know.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go.
Oh, my thing is I think sometimes the practical effects department sits over there and goes, and this is just complete conjecture on my part, but I just know people. I think the practical effects department sits over and goes, you're not touching anything in post-production with your damn computers, and the damn computer people want to do it all with computers, and they don't work together. Sound like humanity to you guys? And that's the thing. The one advantage we have, and why I do like practical effects, I'm just worried we're, again, going too far with it for no point, no real good point, is now we can touch them up with computers, a la Interstellar. You know, you can take bits and pieces and make them just a little better than they would have been if it had been practical, solely. But I swear sometimes it's just effects departments butting heads and not wanting the other to touch their stuff.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, they also both have a interest in not getting put out of business. So, I mean, there's that too.
Well, here's the problem I have at times with that argument for the practical effects. If it was going to happen, it would have already happened. You know what I mean? I mean, they're never going to be what they were in their heyday, like Blade Runner heyday type stuff. But I've always felt that there's going to be a lot of things you're just never going to be able to capture on, in CGI the way you can in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Although, if we could, we could replace a lot of actors.
You'd be all right for a few.
I think the debate we would have on the few interesting. So Glace, we'll do, I don't know, we'll spend 5 minutes talking about
this. I mean, you don't have to if you want to.
I just really don't have anything to say about this being the 250th episode, yet I feel bad because Pat has asked me, a couple people have asked me every time, well, you guys doing anything? And it's like, I feel like an asshole for not doing anything, and yet I really just don't have anything that fascinating to say about it being, I'm more waiting for 300. But we will talk about that here at the end of the show, because I do have one question for the guys, and I do have something to say, but... Glace, set us up with what Nintendo came out with, and at least I know it's now Mewtwo. I thought he said YouTube. The way he was saying Mewtwo, I thought he was saying YouTube.
Well, Mewtwo is a Pokemon.
Yeah, I know what Mewtwo is. I also know what YouTube is. I just didn't understand you.
Well, he was in Smash Brothers Melee back on the GameCube, and then for whatever reason, they took him out in Brawl, which was weird. And, back in November, I guess, after the game, the 3DS and the Wii U game came out, they announced that Mewtwo was going to be a DLC character later on. So if you ended up buying both the Wii U and the 3DS versions of the game, then you got Mewtwo for free. And so that came out yesterday, and I downloaded that. It's just Mewtwo as he was in the other games. I mean, I don't think we have any crazy Smash Brothers fans in the audience, so I don't have to go into too much depth on it, but... Nintendo also announced that they're also bringing back Lucas, who was in Brawl, who's Ness's, other version of Ness, basically. So, I mean, I think it'd be interesting if they actually introduced a new character that hasn't been done before. I mean, but I guess that's what that poll is about. that's going on the Nintendo website on like, what character do you want to see? So, in all of the mock polls, though, it looks like Banjo-Kazooie has been the number one pick. So, if Nintendo can get a deal with Rare going on that, then that seems pretty likely. So, yeah, that's just Smash Brothers news.
Okay, what was the Mario Kart thing?
Oh, Mario Kart news. The next DLC pack of that is coming out next week. I think next Wednesday or next Tuesday. And that's going to be two new cups, which is 8 tracks. And the tracks have Baby Park from the GameCube version, which is like the chaotic, like everyone dies and explodes in the same area because the course is like 2 inches long. Which I always like, because that's what I like about Mario Kart, all the crazy stuff that happens. So they have that.
That track in the GameCube, in the Double Dash, it's just one loop. There's no like going in different directions and obstacles and shortcuts. It's just one circle or one oval. Oval? No, not an oval.
Yeah, it looks like a what is it, like a 100, like a racetrack, really.
Yeah.
Sort of
yeah.
That, not a circle, but like a weird oval square. I don't know.
Was that in the N64 version?
No, just GameCube.
There was like a really flat, kind of not too many cornered track in the 64 version, wasn't there?
They had, I think it was like Cookie Land or something, which was in the battle mode. And then they had Toad's Turnpike that had cars on it. That was still kind of flat.
Well, there was one where we used to have a few adult beverages and set it to like the highest laps you could and see who just could last the longest.
Oh, I mean the very first course, Luigi's Speedway, is just a big circle, really.
Yeah, I bet it was Luigi's Speedway. I don't remember how high you could set it, but it was long enough that it basically became endurance racing and people were going laps down and getting annoyed and throwing down controllers and just drinking more and then trying again, and we'd only usually get one race a night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, these new tracks look amazing. I mean, the other one is like, there's like sort of like Shy Guy Jungle track, which looks really amazing. I mean, just the level of detail that Nintendo has put into these tracks compared to the other games. I mean, other games were detailed, but this, I mean, there's like set pieces in these tracks that have no purpose other than just being an environmental thing that's there. Like, there's, like, a little Shy Guy village that you run through, and there's, like, you know, Shy Guys walking around and stuff. Like, there's no reason for that to be in the game. You're not going to go there. But, I mean, it's there. So there's that, and then there's a course from the 3DS game, which is Bowser City, Neo Bowser City, which is kind of like a cool, like, cyber Bowser land. They have one from a Game Boy Advance version, which I like, Ribbon Road, I think. And so the whole course, you bounce the whole way. Which might get annoying. I don't know. And what's the other? The Animal Crossing one that has already been announced. And a new F-Zero course. That's right. So that on 200cc is going to be pretty crazy. So I'm really looking forward to all of this.
It was funny after we did last week's show. It was last week's where we talked about 200cc, right? Or was that?
Yeah, I think so.
I saw a number of people commenting in my social media streams about how they just couldn't wait for 200cc, but felt so stupid because it was only 50cc more than kind of what you were saying, John. Like, everybody was so happy about it, yet self-aware enough to recognize that it's kind of a silly thing to be happy about. And my sense was, or my feeling still is who cares? Be happy about it. You know, it's something new for Mario Kart. I mean, Pat posted a video a few days ago or last weekend, you know, that it's like still one of his favorite games to play. And I mean, that's what games are about. Mario Kart, you know, has done really well considering it's, you know, how long it's been around.
I mean, I still pick up and play it. I mean, I played it. I mean, I don't mention it on the podcast because, I mean, I probably played maybe only 3 games a week. But, I mean, I still, if I have time, like 10 minutes to kill, I mean, it's perfect to hop online for like 2 matches and then hop off. It's super easy.
It really is. I pick it up every once in a while, too. I have a I don't play online a whole lot, but I'm still digging away at getting, you know, gold cups and three and gold all the gold stars and in each of the tracks. You know, I'm still pushing myself to get that done. Not as dedicated as I probably would have once upon a time in my life, but you know, it's still I still coming back. I still keep coming back to it. And the music's still great. It's still pretty as all hell.
Well, that's the great thing about it. You know, that's I think why Mario Kart endures is it's replayable. It even goes beyond the term replayability. I mean, you can pick it up at any time from the time you buy it until the time the next one comes out, if you've got the console for that particular version. You know, play it. If you got a few friends over at the house, play it. You got some time to play it online now that they've got that actually in the game. You know, play it. And that's kind of the fun of those type of games, and it's good they exist in this era of gaming. Okay, so we've done 250 episodes. I think I figured out that you guys easily, each of you have easily done 100 plus shows at this point. I do have one question for you, John, and you talk about a lot about playing with Peter, right? Who knows when we'll end this show, but could you see yourself 10 years from now showing this to Peter? Because to me, it's kind of become a very cool catalog of you playing with him in his younger years. So could you see yourself doing that? Could you see yourself setting him down when he's 8 or 10 years old or whatever?
Oh, for sure. And try to and just to let him, yeah, for sure. I mean, he seems to be a kid who's going to like video games, for a long time. I think he gets them. Like, it's, you know, he's interested. He asks about them. You know, it's and he gets them, and as we've, you know, found out in these formative years, he gets involved, and I think you're right. I think it's a great little way for him to get insight into what he was like himself, but also with me as well, and what being a gamer dad with him has been like.
Yeah, I would have had no problem at all with him happening ever. But I had some trepidation at first because I'm like, what is the audience going to think of this? Because, like, we're talking about a father and son playing, and then 30 minutes later, I'm calling somebody a fucking douche waffle. Like, the dichotomy of it was throwing me the first few times, you know, you did stuff and what we've been playing with Peter. But I never wanted to stop it. Don't ever take it that way. It's just the dichotomy of it was throwing me for a loop. But the more you did them, and when I listened back to do the last best of, I'm like, wow, this is an amazing catalog of a father and son playing, and it's a positive one as well. Not that it would have ever been negative. That probably won't happen until he gets old enough to start beating you on a regular basis.
When he doesn't want to be my cover fire anymore, that's when
Yeah,
he'll
you're
use that
doomed.
day.
Yeah, but you know, so I this being the 250th episode, one of the things that I think's happened since we hit 200 is you've chronicled more you're playing with Peter as he's gotten a little older. And I think it's cool. There's a lot of negative things surrounding gaming anymore, but to see that it's used in a positive sense, in the sense that you and your son are sharing a hobby and sharing quality time is awesome. And the fact that we've captured that, I'm proud of it, you know, and I'm proud of the fact that you've been willing to share it. So to me, it's really cool. Fart jokes, I can do those anywhere. I've proven it over and over again. So hypothetically, Glace, if you ever have children, which I'm guessing you probably will at some point.
Oh God.
I'm not trying to rush you or anything, but I mean, it's kind of what we as humans do. Obviously, I'm a statistical outlier on that, but there are reasons for that, not ones I talk about. But could you see yourself showing your kids any of this stuff you've done?
I mean, when you think about it, this podcast has covered my entire college career.
You got that. I was wondering. I was going to point that out if you didn't
Yeah,
get it.
because I started doing it my freshman year. I'm not sure if it was the first semester freshman or second semester, but yeah, I mean, going till right now, I mean, I mean, because I was in college, I guess, for 5 years, so I mean, that's 5 years right there, flat out. So, I mean, I'm not sure if whoever my kid is would want to listen to me complain about segues for 5 years, but I have a feeling that if they probably will stumble upon this and embarrass me some way, if they ever do find this. So.
Well, that's, that kind of ties in more to my push to start WonderPodOnline.com was the concept that if nothing else, it would be an online mausoleum to our, like a beacon left in space. But honestly, when I started this project with GunSage and Pat, I had no expectations and no goals. And the as time went on, I thought about it more and more. And the one thing that I allowed myself to dream about was, could we as a group do 300 episodes almost continuously of a gaming podcast, or more of a just bullshit show podcast? Now we talk about a lot other stuff, a lot of other stuff other than gaming. And so that's the one thing I want to share on this 250th episode is my goal has kind of always been, and like it was an interior goal. I try not to set expectations. I try not to map out too much. I just have a real problem with sticking to a script and a plan. I have to do it too much in my everyday life, so on my own stuff. It doesn't ever work. And so when I came up with the idea and asked Pat and GunSage, I had no plan. But now, my thing is 300 episodes has a nice ring to it, and that doesn't mean that like at episode 300 we're done. I have no intention of planning an ending. I don't think these guys have any intention of or any ideas of what the ending's going to look like. You do it until you don't want to do it anymore. It's somebody, one of you two said it's a hobby. In fact, in my mind, a lot of this stuff with YouTube and Twitch and other internet content, everybody starts it because they have fun doing it. And then some people catch on and others continue to do it as a hobby. There's some luck involved, there's some timing involved, and obviously there's talent involved as well. But the one thing I've always loved about what we've done here on WonderPod and what we've done on WonderPodOnline.com is almost everything that we've ever put on there has been because somebody wanted to create something and we provided them with an outlet. And that, to me, at every milestone we reach, whether it was episode 100, episode 200, episode 250, I missed 150. I missed naming off 150. It is the fact that no matter what, there's now a place, and short of me ending up in under a bridge in a cardboard box, with no internet, that place will always exist. iTunes could go away, archive.org could go away. I've got everything safe in a couple different places. They will exist for as long as I'm financially able to keep them up and going, because I think it's important, and I think along the way we had a lot of fun doing it. So okay, we're about at our normal time. Any final thoughts, or of the 250 episodes we've done, John, or to mark this 250th episode?
I just want to say that, being on the show, as many episodes as I have been, has been a great, it continues to be a great experience. I look forward to it every week to just to, shoot the shit, or, have a rant or two here and there sometimes. It's a part of my, it's a part of my life. It's a part of my week in, week out. So, I the times that I managed to miss, I always kind of regret it if I don't get a chance to be on, which tells me that I enjoy this shit. So, you know, thanks.
It's funny because if I know I'm going to be missing a show, and that's obviously not happened too often, I think it's been 3 or 4 episodes at this point. Like when I was at the wedding, mm-hmm. the first time you guys did an episode to get just the two of you together, I like at first I'm like, no podcast this week, like on Monday or Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like Tuesday afternoon, I'm going, Jesus, I hope these guys are, you know, okay. I hope they understand that they're good enough to do this, that they're more than capable of doing this. And then like by Thursday morning, I'm like, well, hopefully they don't. My attitude was, I really wish I could have been there, but my bottom line was, well, hopefully everything goes well and they don't hate me. Because by the time you guys were recording, the pre-wedding dinner was done and I'd already had enough beer that I didn't give a shit anymore. You know, and I just, my overriding thought was, well, hopefully they won't hate me because they're doing it on their own. And you guys did a marvelous job and have done a marvelous job both times I've been gone. But I always think weeks were not going to do it. Or like during Christmas time, it always goes like that for me. Like Monday, I'm like, I don't have shit to do this week. I don't have to do a podcast. I don't have to look at an RSS reader. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. All the stuff I make myself to do the show. And then by like Thursday, I'm like, damn, we could have done that. We could have done that. You know, I mean, I've always felt that the Christmas breaks were important because it's like you need some time, at least a couple weeks away from it. Obviously, yeah. We've stretched that a little bit. But how about you, Glace? Any final thoughts on the 250th episode of WonderPod?
I mean, I've been doing this for half a decade. I mean, if you phrase it that way, you're just like, holy shit. That's a long time. And I mean, I've been doing it for so long now. I mean, that for some people, like, this is just part of my life. I mean, people who've known me, you know, longer, like, oh, you're doing this podcast now. But I mean, like my girlfriend who I met while I was doing this, you know, she knows that like on Thursday at 7 to whenever, like, don't call me. Like that's just like the time now. And like, it's always been that way since she's known me. So, I mean, for people like that, like this is, you know, a very real part of my life, which is interesting.
Yeah. A friend of mine who knows I do this all the time. Who's a bit of a tech head, but a friend of mine here local, not neighbor Fred, another one, just texted me a minute ago, and I've got my phone on silent for once. Usually I forget. He's like, I know you're probably still recording, but dude, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, wow. So it kind of rings home. But yeah, I think my final words will be for this is, this is probably, yeah, there's no doubt. This is the longest consecutive thing or project that I've ever done. I've put stuff down and picked stuff up again, but WonderPod has been the one thing I've done the longest, non-hobby, you know, not like stuff like that. And it's been a fun ride. There's obviously been frustrating moments. It happens. You deal with people. You deal with this kind of stuff. You're going to have some weeks where you just phone it in. I can go back and listen to older shows now with the three of us. And the funniest ones to me as like an observer after the fact, while at the same time I can participate in it. There's some episodes, and I can't think of one off the top of my head, where all three of us were definitely not in the mood and we phoned it in. And man, if you go back and listen to them now, you can tell. But that's the thing. You got to have that in the archive too. You got to have those moments because you do continually do this stuff at any level. You're going to have that where some weeks it just ain't there. But it makes a good one. Makes a good one's all that much better. So that's good for you guys. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Okay.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, this is probably, I miss Pat, but the reason I miss him the most is this stuff. This is his thing. He is so much better at this than I am, and I've been doing it now for...
You should pre-record him.
I need to get on to him about that. But until then, I just tangented myself out of it again. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we have a bunch of ways to do that. First off, Facebook, it's WonderPod Online. WonderPod Online, shoot us a friend request. We will accept it unless you're an obvious bot. We have a website, it's WonderPodOnline.com. WonderPodOnline.com. Right now, it's mostly YouTube videos in this podcast, and most of the YouTube videos are mine. You should go watch them. Although, fucking rendering on Minecraft script again, damn you. When I post the podcast at WonderPodOnline.com, there's an embedded player. So if you want to listen to it on a web browser, you can do that. But we are also on iTunes and archive.org. Archive.org has our entire catalog, which I think right now probably numbers closer to like 280 items if you go with spoiler casts and other one-offs. But that's just a rough guess on my part. Let's see. We have a Twitter account. It's at WonderPod Online, at WonderPod Online, which is used to link other stuff that you can go to. And YouTube channels. Bruce McGee YouTube channel. Glacinator's got a YouTube channel. You should check out my YouTube channel for Glace's awesome art. Olivia made this YouTube channel. Chris Lloyd, go search him up on YouTube. I'm just changing that every week. It's now become a thing. Ah, fuck it. If none of that works for you, we have an email address. It's wonderpod at wonderpodonline.com. Wonderpod at wonderpodonline.com. Or you follow me on Twitter at O-R-I-G-I-M. Or you can follow John on Twitter. Maybe.
I'm MuteMan at M-U-T-E. it's at John Keogh, J-O-N-K-E-H-O-E.
See, 250th episode. That was a first. We've both flubbed our Twitters, but I don't think we've ever muted ourselves out of Twitters. Until episode 251, I am Bruce McGee. Thank you all for listening. See ya, people.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Goodbye.